So this morning, I want to talk to you about real salvation. Now, I say disclaimers every time I preach this message. I'm not trying to create doubt. I'm not trying to create division. I'm not trying to create dysfunction. I'm not trying to create anything. I'm just going to preach the Word of God and trust the Spirit of God to do what the Spirit of God does. And that's what I'm going to do. Because every once in a while, you'll go in somewhere and you'll say, oh, I know you evangelist. I know exactly what y'all do. Y'all come in, stir it up, and walk out. Because y'all have preconceived notions. I'm just telling you, kind of like that guy. He was talking to his wife. They'd been married for quite a time, and they just went to the marriage of one of their friends who had lost her husband, and then she got remarried. And so he was kind of bothered by it, and he said, honey, let me ask something. If I died, would you get married again? And she said, well, you know, I mean, if you died like when, in the next 6 months or something? He said, okay, fine, yeah, we'll say that. She said, I probably would. That kind of disturbed him. He said, you'd get married again? Yeah. You'd get married and you'd let him sleep in this bed we've been sleeping in all? Oh, no, we'd get a new bed, honey. That'd be fine. That'd be fine. He said, what about my guns? You know I love my guns. You'd get married, you're going to let him? No, I'd give your guns to one of the children or something like that. And what about them golf clubs? Those golf clubs, you know, I had them custom made. They're great golf clubs. He said, oh, no, honey, I wouldn't let him have your golf clubs. He's left-handed. See, some of you ain't laughing. Tell them what I just said, what just happened right there. See, some of us have these preconceived notions about things, about what things are going to be and what people are going to be and how they're going to work. And so today, I want you to understand, I just want God to do what God does through His Word and through His Spirit. That's all I'm going to do today, okay? So if you've got Romans chapter 10 open, and if you're physically able, I'm going to ask you to stand in honor and reverence of the reading of the Word of God. We're starting in verse 1. Brother, my heart's desire and my prayer to God for them is for their salvation, for I testify about them that they have a zeal for God, but not in accordance with knowledge. For not knowing about God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own, they did not subject themselves to the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. For Moses writes that the man who practices the righteousness which is based on the law shall live by that righteousness. But the righteousness based on faith speaks as follows. Do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven, that is, who to bring Christ down, or who will descend into abyss, that is, to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is, the word of faith which we are preaching, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart, now he's just said something, now watch this in verse 10. He's flipping it, but he's not changing anything. For with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes in him will not be disappointed, for there is no distinction between the Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, abounding in riches for all who call on him, for whosoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. Father, I thank you right now. I thank you for the music that we've sung. God, I thank you for the way you've encouraged us, and pray, Father, this word this morning, this message this morning, would resonate in our hearts, and God, that we would be confirmed, convicted, and even converted if need be. But Lord Jesus, that we leave here today knowing what salvation is and knowing who's the author of it. And Father, that you have called us to know you. You desire us to know you. And so, Father, I thank you for this word. I thank you for its truth. I thank you for its conviction. I thank you for its clarity. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. One of the things I love about Paul is his heart for his people, the Jewish people. Now, over in chapter 9, it tells us that Paul had an incredible burden for the Jews. Remember, Paul's testimony. He's saved on the way to Damascus, but he's a Jew of the Jews by his own statement. He was a persecutor of those of the way, which is Christianity. And so what he would do, what he's known for, is taking those and putting them in prison, dragging them off, and even held the coats of those who stoned Stephen the prophet. So he was a Jew. He was in line to be in the Sanhedrin. He is one smart cookie. He's authored 9 books in the New Testament. He is a sharp, sharp dude. And so he understands Jewish culture. He understands Jewish history. He understands Jewish people. He understands the scriptures. Why? Because he's a Jew. And that's Paul. He's a Roman citizen who's a Jew. And he used both of those to his advantage. I love him, man. He's a dude, man. Paul's a dude. I'm just telling you, he is a cool dude. So in this, he's got a heart for his Jews. As a matter of fact, in chapter 9, it says, I'm telling the truth in Christ. I am not lying. My conscience testifies with me and the Holy Spirit that I have great sorrow and unceasing grief in my heart. Now listen to this. This is a heart for lost people. For I could wish that I myself were accursed, separated from Christ for the sake of my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. Paul says, I wish that if it would do anything, that I would die and spend eternity in hell if my brethren that are Jews would know Jesus. Now that's a heart for evangelism. How many of you prayed that prayer? God, send me to hell if my family would know you. God, send me to hell if my community would know you. God, send me to hell if this person would know me. How many of you would pray that prayer? We want to talk about a heart for evangelism. I'm talking about Paul was nitty gritty in it. He had the same heart that was in Moses. Moses prayed the same prayer. Lord, I would wish that my name would be removed from your book if my people would know you. That's strong stuff. Now, that's the heart of an evangelist. So that's what Paul's bringing to the table when he comes into Romans chapter 10 and he's talking about salvation. And he's talking about the way of salvation. And the first thing he wants us to understand is salvation is God's work. It's God's work. This is what he says. He said, my brethren, my heart's desire and my prayer to God for them is their salvation. Again, he's talking about the Jews. For I testify about them that they have a zeal for God, but not in accordance with fellowship. For not knowing about God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own, they did not subject themselves to the righteousness of God. Now, what is he saying there? He's saying they're zealous for God. Now, how is a person zealous for God not saved? The Jews, man, you want to talk about it? They were in church all the time. They had the synagogue. They were in there. They knew the history. They knew the scriptures. You didn't want to get in Bible trivia with a Jew. They wipe you up, man. I mean, I'm just telling you, and don't gamble in Bible trivia with a Jew. They'd kill you. You'd lose your home, your house, and everything. I'm just telling you, they knew what the Bible said in the Old Testament. They knew it. Now, understand this. Why is Paul talking this way? Because the New Testament hadn't been written yet. How do I know that? Because one of the authors who wrote 9 books is still talking about it. Sometimes we forget that. We forget, I don't understand how they didn't know that. Because they didn't have the New Testament yet, man. Gospels weren't written. The epistles weren't written. And just for the record, the epistles were not the wives of the apostles. Y'all know that, don't you? Are y'all all right? Because y'all look a little uptight right now. Y'all are bothering me. I'm just telling you. So Paul, he's just saying, this is what he's saying. He's saying, listen, I want you to know, they had a zeal for God. They knew who God was. They knew the Old Testament. They were in church. They had the appearance of righteousness. I mean, everything they had was outward driven. So what did they do? They didn't believe that salvation was the work of God. They believed there was something they could do to earn salvation. They didn't want to be beholden to the Messiah. They didn't want to believe that Jesus did anything for them. And I'm telling you right here, the only way you and I ever get saved is by the work of Jesus. We can't work hard enough, good enough, long enough, right enough to do it. You say, well, we all know that, Bucky. Why are you telling us stuff we already know? Because I'm a prophet of the obvious. I love doing stuff like that. Because the vast majority of people who claim to be born again, I'm not talking about 50%, I'm not talking about 60%, I'm talking about nearly 80% of those who claim to be born again still believe that their works matter in regard to salvation. Not in result of salvation, but in obtaining salvation. We have a hard time believing that if we're good enough that God would actually condemn us. We don't believe that. We don't actually believe that. See, some of you are not going to go to hell. Many aren't going to go to hell because they've never smoked, they never drank, they never cussed, they never did anything impure, they were morally good, morally clean. Many of them are not going to go to hell because of that. Many are going to go to hell because they never have. They believe because they haven't done any of those things, because they haven't engaged in those things, they won't go to hell. And so what Paul was wanting these Jews to know is the only way you're saved is by the work of God. And you didn't even submit to that work. Matter of fact, you were so opposed to that work of God that you created a righteousness for yourself. Your own righteousness, which denied God and what he did. Now, how in the world do you go about creating a righteousness? Well, you do it the way they did it. You create a law that says if you do this, this, and this, you're good. You create an appearance. You create your own belief system. And by the way, you know that's part of things of the last days. 2 Timothy chapter 4 says in the latter days, there will be people who will put together teachers to match the desires of their life. We'll create our own gospel. It's in the Bible. So don't sit there and look at the Jews and go, man, I tell you what, man, they just didn't know. We'll do it today, and it's happening today. We're creating our own gospel. I just wrote an article yesterday, Pastor. You were talking about church and know you're busy and all this kind of stuff. I just wrote an article called Enabling Rebellion. Enabling Rebellion. Because, I mean, what we'll do is we'll go up and we'll say, listen, we're going to have some meetings this week, or we're going to have church this week, and I know you're busy, but we just hope that you can make some time to come. And I just sat there and thought, I played a lot of sports in high school. I did. And you know something, Brother Doug? I didn't have one coach that ever said this. Now listen, we're going to have practice this week. I know it's busy. I know you got a lot of things you could do. But we sure would appreciate if you'd come to practice at least a couple times this week. Never had one that did that. I had them plenty say, you don't come to practice, you'll be off the team, you ain't playing, you ain't doing. I mean, I'm just telling you, they didn't have a hard time about holding us accountable for the attendance to practice. Anybody here? I'm just saying, I pastored for a long time. I've never been in places that, okay, listen now, I'm just saying. Band, it don't matter. You think about it. Nobody does that, but the church, we get together. It's like church somehow just started happening on Sunday. You going to church Sunday? And they look at you in shock. Like church wasn't going to be on Sunday. Like it hadn't been on Sunday for thousands of years. Church on Sunday? We having church on Sunday? I mean, as a pastor, it always amazes me. People say, preacher, I ain't seen you in a while. I'm the easiest guy in the world to find. I'm in the same place about every Sunday, standing in the same spot. I'm telling you, man, if you wanted to assassinate me, I'd be an easy dude. When I was pastoring in Gainesville, they knew exactly where I was, and so they robbed our house one Sunday when we were in church. Isn't that right, baby? Why? They knew where I was. People go, hey, listen, we having church? Like it's a shock. Now, I'm just saying, right here, Paul is talking to people selling something. It's a work of God. He's telling you can't go to church enough. You can't do enough. Your goodness, you just because you don't like the work of righteousness that Jesus has in you doesn't mean you get to create your own righteousness. You're zealous for God, but you're missing God in your zeal. Not only is it a work of God, God's the only one who can do this. And by the way, isn't it good news that he wants to? It's his work that he wants to do. Isn't that cool that God wants to do that work? Not only is it the work of God, salvation is the work of God, but it comes by the word of God. See, when Paul's talking in verses 4 through 8, he's telling them that it's by the word of God. And he says, the word is near you. You don't have to go up to heaven and bring God down. You don't have to go below to bring God up. No, the word of God is near you. He's telling them, what's he referring to? He's talking about the scriptures that they know. He's telling them in verses 7 and 8 that the word of God is near you. You know that the word of God is near you. Listen to what the scriptures say. Paul was convinced of the Messiah through the scriptures of the Old Testament about who he was and how he'd come and what he would do. And so he's telling them, listen, you know the word of God, what it testifies to God about the Messiah. You know that. And then in verse 17 of this chapter, he says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It's the Bible that tells us who Jesus is and what Jesus does. We get saved by the promise and by the absolute authority of the Word of God. This is the book. This is it. And see, when you create your own righteousness, you, what do? You make this book say what you want it to say in your way. But the reality of it is, what Paul is telling them, you get saved by the Word of God. The Bible tells you who you are. Matter of fact, they start talking about the law. And he says, and I love Paul, and in Romans 7, he says, you don't do away with the law. The law tells you that you're a sinner. The law tells you that you're a sinner. The law tells you who you are. Do y'all know that? That the law lets you know that you're a sinner? Surely your pastor's done this survey with you. You ever lied? You ever lied? White lie, big lie, little lie. Everybody's lied. Raise your hand. Some of you ain't got your hand up. You're lying now. You thought about lying. You ever stolen anything? I'm talking about borrowed something, not return it intentionally. Stole a piece of gum, a little candy, stole something. You ever stole anything? Now, just a minute, all of you just admitted you were liars, so I can't trust you about this now. Well, I'm just telling you, right there, that's enough to condemn you to hell. Right there. So the law tells me I'm a sinner. The law tells me I'm unrighteous. The law tells me that I'm worthy of hell. That's what the law does. But here's what happens. So what Paul says is what the law taught me. Now, faith, grace steps in so that the law is not done away with, but that God allows me to see through grace that I'm a sinner, and it's by that grace, and then faith claims what God shows me in grace so that I can be saved. The Word of God does all that. The Word of God does all that. He says, so you're saved by the work of God, and you're saved by the Word of God. You hear the Word, and you get in that Word, and that Word reveals you because it tells you what God is thinking about you, what He knows about you. And that's real salvation. I don't get saved apart from the Word of God. I don't get saved apart from the work of God. I can't. But I got it saved God's way. And that's what it says. It says that in verse 9, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. And then he flips top that around and talks about what happens. For with the heart a person believes, resulting in the righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses. See, salvation is not outward in, it's inward out. With the heart I believe, that's conviction. There's a conviction within my heart that says Jesus Christ is Lord, which moves to a confession of my mouth that professes what my heart has already possessed. See, salvation is not just a profession of faith, it is a possession of faith. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, do you not know you were bought with a price? That you are not your own, you are the temple of the Holy Spirit? Do you know that? That I'm owned by the one who bought me, Jesus? That my body, my outward vessel is not mine, it's His. Because He worked inside out, because whatever He possessed on the inside, He possesses on the outside. And so He's telling me, and no Jew, listen to me, no Jew would ever say this unless it was convictionally true in their life. No Jew would just say, Jesus Christ is Lord. He knew what that would mean. I mean, it would mean ostracization. They would be attacked. He would be brutalized because that's what happened to Paul. Paul was a Jew. He knew because he confessed the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why the Jews hated him. And so no Jew would carelessly, flippantly say, Jesus Christ is Lord. Why? Because in that, when you believe that Jesus Christ is Lord, you're saying, I believe in His sovereignty. I believe in His strength. I believe in His security. I believe in His sufficiency. I believe that He is who exactly He says He is, and God Himself. And to a Jew, that would be blasphemous. And so they would never say that. But because we don't realize when we profess Jesus and that possession takes place, we just casually say it. I mean, people just casually say it. Yeah, I believe in Jesus Christ. I'm not talking about believing His existence. I'm talking about does He express Himself in His life in your life. See, salvation is not just Jesus coming out of heaven to get us out of hell. Salvation is Jesus coming out of heaven to get into us. That's salvation. His life in my life. And sometimes we'll say, give your life to Jesus. Jesus don't want my life. No, what he wants is to put his life in me. That's what salvation is. His life in me. The expression of God in me. That's salvation. Now, there are a couple things I'm finished. One is, I want you to understand this. One is up there where it says in verse 12, for there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, abounding in riches for all who call on him. I just want you to understand something. Just because of the culture we live in, I really believe this is so important. There is not a way. What Paul was saying is, there's not a Jewish way to be saved. There's not a Greek way to be saved. I want you to hear me. There's not a gospel for white people. There's not a gospel for black people. There ain't a gospel for red people. There ain't a gospel for brown people. There's one gospel with one way. And every tribe and tongue has to come that way. I'm sorry. We don't have a gospel for a gender and a gospel for a race. We have one gospel. And it's Jesus Christ. And he's for everybody. Regardless of what anybody says or thinks, that's it. So I'm just sorry. If you want to get saved, you got to get saved by his work, in his word, and by his way. Now here's where it gets really good. And I'm fixing to land this plane. Now understand this. I'm really good at closing. I'll do it two or three times. Verse 11. For scripture says, whoever believes in him will not be disappointed. Now here's what I want you to understand something. It says, whoever believes in Jesus will not be disappointed. That word disappointed means ashamed. It didn't say, whosoever believes in the church will not be disappointed. Last week in Kentucky, I was preaching this, and a 77-year-old Sunday school teacher got saved. You want me to tell you why? Because she said, I'd been believing, my faith had been in the church all this time. They baptized her Wednesday night. See, we got people believing on the church. It didn't say believe on the church and be saved. It says believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved, and you'll not be disappointed. Why? Because the church will disappoint you. I'm just telling you, I meet people all the time who tell me, well, I just got hurt by the church. Get in line. I'm just telling you, I've been working with church 35 years. It gets painful. It gets painful. It gets painful because of some things I do as a member of a church. I mean, I'm telling you, I've inflicted it. But it gets painful just because churches do some painful things. They say some painful things. They do some painful things. In churches, we do some of the cockeyed stuff I've ever seen in my life. Don't understand it. How we do stuff and why we do stuff and how it goes. I'm just telling you. I was 15 years old. Went through an awful church split. Awful church split. Saw it happen. My mother was called a harlot. My dad was called a liar on a Sunday morning. If anybody's got a reason to hate the church, I got a reason. But if your reason for staying out of church or being upset about the church, it didn't say believe on the church and you'll never be disappointed. It said believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved and you won't be disappointed in him. I don't go to church for the church. I go to the church for him. I don't come to worship you. You shouldn't come to worship me. We ought to worship him. Some people say, I tell you what, I just didn't think church was all that good today. It wasn't about you. Didn't have one thing to do about you. Didn't say believe on the church and be saved. Didn't say believe on the church and you won't be disappointed. It said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will not be disappointed. Didn't say believe on the preacher. I mean, I'm telling you, preachers will mess with you. I love yours. I love yours, and I am one. I can say it. But I'll do some stuff that'll make you go, what in the world that boy's been doing? I mean, I know it, man. Listen, I'm much more aware of my mistakes than I am any victory I would have had. But it didn't say believe on the preacher and be saved. It said believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. And you won't be disappointed. Why? Because the preacher will disappoint you.
I mean, we will. We'll miss something. We won't say something. I mean, we've got the ability to say some of the wildest things you've ever heard of. And y'all got the ability to hear things we've never said. I'm just telling you, I've had people come and tell me things I said, and I'm pretty sure, I mean, I went back and listened to them. I didn't say it. I mean, I know what I was transmitting, but I don't have any idea what. But I didn't say believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, we're going to tell you something. I mean, I'm just telling you, there are people that if some preachers in America say it, it's gospel. There's one out in Texas right now, got lots of teeth. He'll say anything. People believe everything he says. You want me to be specific? I'm just telling you. We just think because one, and I'm just telling you, it doesn't say believe on the preacher and you should be saved. And you want me to, I'm going to tell you something. I disappoint my wife. I know that's hard to believe. But her testimony, she was saved 10 years into being a pastor's wife. Her testimony was that I was following the wrong man. God never told her to believe on me and be saved. Believe on Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. And you will not be disappointed. Jesus will not disappoint you. The church will disappoint you. The preacher will disappoint you. Doesn't say, believe on the people of the church and be saved. I'm telling you, no, don't believe on the people. I mean, there's a bunch of hypocrites in the church. Yeah, duh. Tell me something I don't know. Doesn't say believe on the people and be saved and you will not be disappointed. It says believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved and you will not be disappointed. So get your eyes off man. You're already in a bad spot. That's why Jesus came to save all of us. I'm telling you, man, I'll have people do some wild stuff. Getting ready to go preach. There'll be somebody to come and say, Pastor, can I just tell you something? And they'll know what I'm getting. I know you're getting ready to preach, but I really need to tell you this. They've messed up our literature again. We don't use this Lifeway piece. We use this one, and we like the large print. And I'm telling you, I don't know why this is so hard, but could you just make an announcement about that? No. I can't make an announcement about that this morning. I had one lady come up. Our parking lot was messed up real bad. She came in and she broke her heel off in one of the cracks in the parking lot. When they're coming, you know what they're coming for. You can see them a mile away if you're a preacher. They got that look, don't they, Pastor? You better not say anything right here. You know they're coming, Brother Doug. I mean, you can tell there's some discomfort in their life. You see this? These are $59 shoes. We need to get that pavement fixed. And I'm sitting there thinking, $59, that's more than you've given us. I didn't say it, I thought it. I'm going in and preach. They're mad. Want me to fix their shoe. We got cracks in the concrete. Wear flats. How hard is that? I ain't busted a heel yet. I walk across it about 10 times a week. That's always good. Preacher, we just need to be real. Can we just be real this morning? I always wonder what real was. What's real? Let's be real. I mean, let's have real worship. Are we having fake worship now? I mean, because them real people singing real songs, and there's real people playing real pianos and real organs and instruments, and I don't think we have any imitation people. I mean, we got some people that aren't real authentic, but they all flesh and blood. I'm just telling you, we're real. And what they're saying is, let's just do away with everything and be free to worship God the way we want to. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says I'm free to worship the way he wants to, not the way I want to. Y'all here trying to get real, that's right. I'm just telling you, people come up and say some crazy stuff. Here's real. Hey, you heard a real announcement. They need some real help in the nursery. That's pretty real. Won't you get real and change a real diaper? That would be real. Here's real. Come up and show up and serve. That's pretty real. How about really give? That would be real. Real money in a real offering plate.
That's real. Real. No, what we're, I mean, I'm just saying, we come up with some stuff, and then we call stuff, and then people get mad, and then they go find another church because they think they're trying to find a church. They know nobody's perfect, but they're trying to find a church that has at least more perfection than the church they're in now. I'm just telling you, that's why the time they get into the middle 40s, they don't go to church anymore. They were worn slap out. They can't find any place. And there's no place for them to go hide. And so, or they'll go try and start another church. Why? The Bible doesn't say, believe on the people and thou shalt be saved and not disappointed. It says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved and you won't be disappointed. And that's salvation. Real salvation. It's God's work and God's word, God's way through Jesus Christ. It's exclusive. You can't get there any other way. You can't get there through the church. You can't get there through your preacher. You can't get there through people. I don't care. If you come from a family and say, well, my mom and daddy is saved, that don't mean nothing. That's terrible grammar. It's great theology. I mean, I like double negatives. I think they're a wonderful thing. They're my friends. And if you don't know what a double negative is, you're my kind of people. I'm just telling you, being born in an oven don't make you a biscuit. Just because your mom and daddy were saved doesn't make you saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And who can believe on the Lord Jesus Christ? Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Whoever calls upon him. It's not so you give your life to him, it's so that he gives his life to you. And you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. And that's Christianity. And that's why he says you persevere as a Christian. But the thing is, it's God's working in you to complete the work he started in you. It's not based on your work, but his work. And when you work in his work, you rest in what he's done. And you're saved. Doesn't mean you're without adversity. Doesn't mean you're without problems. It doesn't mean you're out with tests and trials. Because I'm going to tell you something. You get saved, he's going to test that faith. And a faith that can't be tested can't be trusted. That's real salvation. Real salvation takes you through the storms. Real salvation takes you through the fire. Real salvation takes you through this life into eternity with him. That's real salvation. Your hope in anything less is a farce. And that's why coming together as a body matters, because Hebrews says so that we would stimulate one another to good works. And it's kind of hard to stir up that which don't show up. Are you saved? I mean saved. I'm not talking about are you saved by the church. I'm not talking about are you saved by a preacher. I'm not even talking about if you're saved by people, your mama, your daddy, your best friend. I'm talking about believing on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. Can't be saved by the church, can't be saved by the preacher, can't be saved by the people, but you can be saved by Jesus. Can't be good enough to be saved, can't be bad enough not to be saved. You can be saved by Jesus. I don't care what race you are, I don't care what gender you are, and there's only two, by the way. Just got to clarify that in today's world. There's only two. The only person you can be saved by is Jesus. Now here's the deal. Once we get the salvation issue settled, then we can start dealing with everything else. But if you try to live the Christian life in the power of your flesh, you will be frustrated, humiliated, and worn out. It's not hard to do. It's impossible to do. And that's why so many people get so bored coming to church. They're not excited about heaven. They're not excited about the body of Christ. That's just it. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, and you won't be disappointed. Why? Because Jesus never fails. Are you saved? Not by the church, not by the preacher. Not by people, but by Jesus. Are you saved? That's real salvation. Would you bow your heads with me? It's a real simple question. You say to me, Dave Bucky, I'm not saved. According to the definition,
I believed in the church. I might believe in a preacher. I might believe in somebody else. But I haven't believed in Jesus. Now here's what I know, boy. The devil's working real hard. He's messing with your pride. He's going to mess with you. But you say to me this morning, Bucky, I want to be saved today. I want to be saved today. I'm a whosoever. And I want to be saved. Would you just lift your hand up today? I want to pray for you. Lift your hand up today. I want to be saved. Thank you. Anyone else? I want to be saved today. Back here in the choir. Father, I pray for this one that's raised her hand. And Lord Jesus, I pray that right now with all the confidence they can have in you, that they would pray, Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner, but I believe that you will forgive me of my sins, you will cleanse me of my sins, and in you I'm a new person. And you will put your life in me, and by that life I will live in the freedom of my salvation that you have granted to me by the cross, in faith, through grace, in Jesus' name. Father, thank you for saving me. Now listen to me, every believer, head bowed and eye closed, you say to Bucky, I know I'm saved. But man, my confidence, I'm not living an authentic Christian life. Matter of fact, I've kind of taken back what God gave me in his life. And I'm trying to do in my flesh what I can only do in his faith, in his life. And I need to be stimulated this week. I need to be stirred this week. I need to be held accountable. I need to deal with some issues in my life this week. And I pray that this week, I'm going to give God everything he needs to do in my life. Permission to do everything he needs to do in my life this week. Would you just lift your hand up? I want to give him permission to do everything he needs in my life this week. Thank you. Thank you. Father, I pray right now for those that raise their hand. God, that you would be that you would be a stimulant to them. You'd be a stir to them. God, that you would take by an act of will, the permission they just gave you, and use it, Father, to do a great work in them. And I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.